Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, this morning as we approach the Lord, we bless the holy name. For thou art truly worthy of praise, O Lord. We give you all the glory. And the blessing, O God, that you have granted us in Christ Jesus, we return to thee, O Lord, all this joy that thou hast given us, for we rejoice, O Lord, in thy presence. We ask for your grace, O Lord, this time now to just give us some understanding of your word in this last day. A little more nuggets in there, Lord, in this life that we might gain an understanding, Father, and have a revelation and a relation so close, O Father, with you than ever was before in our early years when we first know you. So from day to day, Father, as we walk with you and we walk in thy word, we pray that, Lord, we'll just be so close to you and the reality of Jesus Christ in our life be a reality too, Father. And we ask for your grace right now in Jesus' name to bless us. Amen. You may be seated. And I want to, first of all, there are just a couple of questions that came in. And I just want to touch on this, some of these things for us to see clearly. How to look at the Bible once again, not much concerning doctrines, but rather how that we approach the Word of God in understanding it. So first of all, let's just go to the book of Revelation chapter 12, because here we want to see a vision of John regarding the woman and the great dragon. And also chapter 13, which is of course the beast. So we want to look at the first one, the great dragon. Alright. Let us go to Revelation chapter 12 first and let us read it before we go further into it. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and he cast them to earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to deliver, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all the nation with a rod of iron. And the child was cut up unto heaven, unto God and to his throne. Now, then let us go to chapter 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat, and his great authority, and so on and so forth. Now, when we look into this these two chapters here, now there is always, now the interpretation of the book of Revelation, it has been a hidden book to denomination for years. Okay, they have been trying to guess and all this, they are all doing the best to study and find it out. But I believe what Brother Abraham said, that if you don't get up from the system, get up from the tradition, your interpretation is always having in a reference to what you have been taught in the tradition of the church. Okay? So now, the chapter 12 and chapter 13, it appears to be the same. You see, look at chapter 12. Look at the dragon. Here he says, you know, this dragon. It has 7 heads, 7 crowns upon the head, and 7 and 10 horns. Okay? Then when you look into the second chapter 13, well, you said there is a beast here. We have 7 heads. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 heads. And it says 10 horns. And the Bible said now horns are on, the crowns are on the 10 horns. Okay? Let's go back to the first one. And let us look at verse 12, chapter 12 again. Look at it here. It says, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now this woman here, it tells us who it was. Now, denomination had dispute between this woman. Some say this woman represents the church. Some say it is represent Israel. Okay? Some say they represent the church. The reason why they say you represent the church, because the church gave birth to a man child. Remember, he said that she gave birth and she was traveling with a man child, and that was called up to heaven. That man child was Jesus Christ. So he said that the church represents the church. And because the Bible also said that he had upon his crown 12 stars. So they said the 12 stars are the 12 apostles. Okay? But that kind of interpretation is very wrong, because when we go to the Old Testament, we can prove it. Because when we interpret the Bible, you've got to examine as the Bible. Isaiah said, here a little and there a little. You know, God is always hiding the truth from those wise and prudent. You see, revelation of Jesus Christ is only revealed to those that are His people. Okay, those who have a heart to learn. As Jesus Christ said, oh, thank you, Father, for you reveal such as to them and those that will learn. Not learning it from a high theological seminary. Okay, you learn it from those whom God sent, whom God will use to give the word out. Alright, so first of all, let us look at this. So, that this chapter 12 and chapter 13, it looks like they are the same, but we know it isn't the same. First of all, here, in chapter 12, it's the heaven. Now, you look at the verse here in verse 1, and there appears a great wonder in heaven. Now, in chapter 13, you look at it, he said, I stood upon the sand of the sea and I saw a beast rise out of the sea. Is that right? So this was the earth. This first one, chapter 12, was in heaven. The other was in earth. Now this is therefore make to understand why is the vision that God gave to John, chapter 12, was in heaven. The other was when he was on earth, you know, he saw a vision of himself standing upon the sea and saw this vision of the beast that came out of the sea. The 12 is heavenly, 13 is earthly. Okay, now let us look further if you need to, because all the clues that God wants you to know is there. You know, God wants to make us like investigate or detective, and he went to study the world and find out here and there for the golden nuggets. That's what makes it interesting. You know, God doesn't feed us all the time with porridge. Make it meat stuff for you to dig a little bit deeper and chew on it. And he said here, a woman clothed with the sun, moon upon her, under her feet, upon her head, a crown with 12 stars. And she being with child cried in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, still in heaven, and behold a great red dragon. Now this great red dragon. Now of course, the Greek word is drakon. Alright? And that's why we get the word dragon. And dragon today, as I said, when you picture about dragon, and the Western picture about dragon, is something like this. This is the way that the Western people, the Western country will picture a dragon, right? He has wings, and his tail is always end with the shape of an arrow. Is that right? An arrow tail? Huh? And the kind of dragon they have, of course, they breathe fires too, and could fly. But if you go to China or the Eastern side, the dragon is different. The dragon is long, it's very long, like a, you know, like a serpent, huh? It's longish. Usually have only one head. Okay, and chasing a ball of fire. Of course, it doesn't have wings. But yet, this dragon can fly too. Okay? So, this are the imagination of, back then, of course, back in ancient times, there was this imagination of a long serpent. But the word dragon, in Greek, it means a fiery, brilliant, enchanting serpent. Alright? In the Hebrew word, remember the word serpent, where can the word, how does the word come from? It comes from the word sarap. It's a fiery, you know, moving thing. Huh? Remember that. Okay? And we see this then that actually here is, when somebody is read again, it referred to who? It referred to who? The soul serpent. And that serpent has always a connotation that he was referring to Satan. You understand that? And so here we have in the heavenly realm that John saw this woman standing up there in the heaven, and here came this dragon. Alright, waiting to devour the child that she will give birth to. Alright, so we realize that this thing represents spiritual thing. Okay, it represents spiritual thing. And that this woman is none other than Israel. We'll talk about it later. And the moon under her feet, of course, represents the law. Okay? The sun is, the Bible here said that she was clothed with the sun. The sun is what we call the glory of God. The sun always represents, or the Bible used the word, the sun of righteousness. Huh? Remember the book of Malachi, the sun of righteousness will be healing in his wing. The last chapter, I believe it is, you read the verse, you will read the verse there. Referring to, of course, the coming of the glory of the Son of God. The Son of Righteousness always have that height. So we know then that it is referring to the glory of God. Alright? So the glory of God covers Israel. Israel was God's chosen people. Now still is. Alright? And of course that the moon under our feet reflects the sun. And what that reflects the sun is the law. So the moon under our feet was the law that God gave her to walk on, and it is the Lord of God that carries Israel. Remember Paul said, now I'm not referring to much scripture, but you should know, Paul said in the book of Corinthians that this law, in his epistle, that the law was a carrier, is it a school teacher, remember? They bring you such a time that once you bring you to the knowledge of the truth, then this law will be done away with. So the law is a carrier. Just like the epistle that we have now, the New Testament, that given to the church, was a carrier. It carries us until we see the promised one come. Then this Bible will no longer be needed. So the law was a carrier until that woman was fully enclosed with this son, or see the appearance of Christ, or be taken to the Father's house as a family. So this depicts the glory that Israel have, but her walk with God is through the law in the first place. Now, she is already pregnant here, we know that. She's tribbling to be delivered. Alright. But you look at here in verse 3. It says here, this great red dragon has 7 heads and 10 horns. 7 crowns upon his head. 7 heads. Okay, here you have 7 heads. And each head had a crown. Okay? All the 7 heads. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 heads. Now, common sense will tell you, when I have seen some drawing, this is one I draw, but I've seen some drawing, of course I've altered this drawing a little bit, add a few heads or so, but those who draw, you will notice that when the Bible says there are 10 horns here, is that right? 10 horns. They don't know where the horns are, so they put one horn in this, at least one of them, there are 7 of them, 7 heads. So, every head has at least one horn. Then, wow, there are 3 more horns. Where do they put it? Some have 2 horns, some... It looks kind of funny, you know. The common sense would tell you this. Of course, you've got to look at this and then later on go to chapter 13 and understand it. That the only thing we know that only one of the head must have all the 10 horns. That's an obvious fact. And so what I have here is that there are 7 horns, each horn on all the 7 heads, and here this one have 10 horns, 10 crown, I mean a crown on each head, but 10 horns on one of these heads. Alright? And that's what we see. Okay, now, go back and to chapter 13. Now this beast arise out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And you read that carefully now, he said, upon his horns, 10 crowns. And upon his head, the name of blasphemy. Upon his horn, 10 crowns. So, now we see that, well, it's no longer talking about the dragon. It's talking about a beast now. The dragon represents the spirit of Satan. Spiritually, what he has been doing throughout the century when God chose Israel. And those 7 heads are 7 dominions, 7 empire, or 7 kingdoms. Alright? From the very beginning, they seek to destroy Israel. Do you remember that? Alright? And we know, you can remember the 7th nation that tried to attack Israel. The first one was Egypt. Second, Assyria. Third, what is the third one? Babylonian. Fourth, Middle Persia. Alright? Fifth, the Grecian. Sixth, Rome. Okay? And there is another hit that is coming. The revived Roman Empire. Which of course you are seeing now. That's why you see the Pope and all this Catholic Church from the very beginning already after about 600, you know, the year 600 or something, manipulating and form a new religion called, of course, Islam. You see, and if you look into history and do a search and all these things, behind the Jesuits movement is to use something to destroy the children of Israel, or children of God, Israel. That's what they are doing, planning. And this is what is being fulfilled. It's going to watch the Middle East, okay? You see what's going to happen in the Middle East, who is going to attack Israel? How it will be attacked? Who is funding all this thing behind? Huh? A lot of folks, you know, politics are very dirty. Huh? What do you think is going on right now in North Korea? Why is America so, you know, wishy-washy over that? And why? How come Clinton went there, the two women journalists can be released? Huh? When you fire all there, everybody talk about it, you know, grumble, it's just all for show. And China is behind these things too. You know. Huh? China has nuclear power, but only one way, of course, is to let the Korea test it. The king of the east, the Bible talks about, is on the move. Huh? The Bible says the king of the east on rise. And the army that's going to move from there to the, from the east towards the river Euphrates. Of course, river Euphrates is a symbol. You know, when it dries up, of course, even the river Euphrates is drying up already. Okay. That you know, that the army might come down to Israel. You see, and these are the signs of the time we see. You know. So there's all this manipulation to destroy. Now here we see here now, here you have seven heads. And this head has 10 horns. And the Bible said it has on his head, on this horn 10 crowns. So the crown is no longer on the head, it is on the horns. Do you see that now? Okay? And you know, as I said this before, when you look into visions, always look a little carefully into visions. Chapter 13 says, I stood upon the sand of the sea and I saw the beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns. Now, if you're standing on the sea and something comes out, huh? Okay, something comes out on the sea. What is the first thing you normally see if you have an animal walk coming towards the shore, coming out of the sea? What is the first thing you normally see? If by description, now this is what God wants you to look at it, huh? Don't be foolish in me, just simply read it. If this animal is to come out of the sea, what is the first thing you see? What is the first thing you see when it comes out of the sea? They are the horns. The horns is the one that sticks up. The horn will be the one that comes up first. And then the heads that holds the horns. And then the rest of the heads. And then the body. And then the leg. That's common sense. And that's, you know what, this chapter 13 deals with the last head. If you read over it, you realize it deals with the last head. The head that was wounded to death by Lucifer. You know? So these are enough for us to understand this thing. Okay, let us look into some verses of scripture now. Regarding chapter 12, which is, of course, the woman. There are two women in the Bible. Two women. They are just as beautiful, but one is corrupt. The first woman is called the daughter of Jerusalem. The other one is called the daughter of Babylon. Okay, let us go and look into 2 Kings. Let us look into some verse of scripture now. 2 Kings. 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. 1 Kings, 2 Kings is before that. So 2 Kings chapter 19 verse 21. Alright. This is the word that the Lord hath spoken unto him. I thought reading the wrong verse. Chapter 19 verse 21. This is the word that the Lord hath spoken concerning him. The virgin, The daughter of Zion have despised thee and loved thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem has shaken her head at thee. Now this is Isaiah's prophecy against Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, who tried to come against Israel. And because of the prayer of King Hezekiah, the word came to Hezekiah and told him that the virgin, the daughter of Zion, has despised thee, which is thee refers to the king of Assyria. So here you will have a daughter of Zion, or the daughter of Babylon, or Jerusalem. Lamentation, chapter 2. Lamentation is after Jeremiah. If you always want to know where Lamentation is, always remember the crying prophet. Okay, or the weeping prophet. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. Okay, and it comes right after him. And Lamentation chapter 2, verse 13 and 15. They say, verse 13. What thing shall I take to the witness for thee? What shall I liken to thee, O daughter of Jerusalem? Only one daughter, not a daughter of Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a city of peace, right? Remember Jerusalem means a city of peace. It's on top of the mountain, of Mount Zion. Okay, Mount Moriah, where Abraham sacrificed Isaac there, right? That's where the temple is. So the daughter of Zion, of Jerusalem, what shall I equal to thee that I may comfort thee, O virgin daughter of Zion? For thy breach is great like the sea. Who can heal you? So, the daughter of Jerusalem is wounded. We all know that Israel has always been wounded by all the nations round about. Verse 15. All that passed by clapped their hands at thee. They hissed and they wagged their head at the daughter of Jerusalem, saying, is this the city that men call the perfection of beauty? The joy of the whole world? You're not funny, isn't it? Somebody wonder, you know, the Bible talks about Jerusalem, the city of peace, the city of God and all that, the holy city. But it's been a city that has always been a war. And all the nations wag their head and, a lot of nation people wag at Jerusalem. The Jew, right? They say all kinds of manner of things about a Jew, you see. And then, of course, this is kind of lamentation. This is what Jeremiah said. Is the city and the man called the perfection of beauty? Is this it? The perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? Yeah, even now, to not to everybody in this world yet, but to us, it's a joy to us. You know, but it won't be a joy to the whole earth when Christ comes to reign. Amen. Alright, let's go to Isaiah 9:6. You bring a Bible, you're supposed to turn to your Bible and draw a sword. We used to do that when we were young. Draw a sword and so how fast you can turn your Bible to and know where the place is. Chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now here, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, a son is given. Now, who is asked? Who is asked? Come on, who is asked? Unto us a child is given, unto our son is born, is given. Who is asked? Huh? Come on, you all know the answer, right? What's that? Who is that? Who is asked? Come on. You all got to look confused, huh? God's children. Well, which one? Who is asked? You know the answer, don't be afraid to say it out. Israel. It's not our Gentile, it's Israel. Remember this thing, but you need to look into the chronology of the Bible. This is Isaiah. You understand? It is not in the New Testament. It's not Epistle of Paul that says that unto us is it is Isaiah the prophet unto us. Because the Gentile was not even involved at that time. Remember? God sending Jesus, the Savior, was to the Jew only. That's why Jesus said, I come to seek for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, not the Gentiles. That's God's way, how He works. Don't say God is unfair. Huh? That's how God works. So, He had a plan. So, already, you know, ordained for them, so you know what he's doing. He has to have a channel to do it. You understand that? Okay? That's why people don't understand. They always have been asked questions countless times. What about those people in China? What about those people in India in that time when Jesus Christ was on earth and they never have the gospel and they die? What happened to them? They go to hell? And, or they go to heaven? And they ask all these questions. But the Bible has the answer about the election of God. And you need to understand that. So God has a purpose. Okay? So unto us, refer to us, Israel. Not us, Gentile. Okay? Alright. Because now let's go to Jeremiah 4. Alright, go to Jeremiah 4 again, verse 31. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 31. For I have heard, listen here carefully, for I have heard a voice of a woman in travail, and the anguish as of her that bring forth her first child, the voice of the daughter of Zion that bewail herself, that spread her hand, saying, what is me now? For my soul is weary because of murderers. What did that verse point to now? Did it not point to Revelation chapter 12? But the Bible says she was with child in Revelation chapter 12, right? Okay? And so that woman in the Revelation chapter 12 is not the church. The woman in Revelation chapter 12 is the daughter of Jerusalem. Is Israel. And he says here she was with child, a woman was with child in tribal anguish. She's crying now because she's going to give birth. And she knows that when she gives birth, she says, what is me now for my soul is really because of murder. God chose Israel as a nation to build her up. That in this nation of Israel, that's when the King of Kings will come to reign. And out of it will produce the Lord of Lords. Is that right? And so it was in Isaiah chapter 9, we said, you know, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, as government shall be upon his shoulder, and so on, and how they benefit the whole world. The prophecy was given there. The prophecy was given in Jeremiah. And what happened in Revelation 12? You see, Revelation 12, what we see here then is this dragon that stood before the woman, this is the spirit of Satan. Through the seven kingdoms, one after another, beginning with first Egypt, the city destroyed and wiped out the children of Israel. Remember? Huh? You see? Then come the Assyrian, then the Babylon, Medo-Persia, and so on down the line. They all seek to destroy her, and she is filled with walls. So no wonder Israel said, woe is me. You know, the thing is this, just like the movie called Fiddler on the Roof. I always like to, if you never watch the Fiddler on the Roof, you should go and watch it and you have a good laugh. You know, this couple, a simple man, you know, he bring milk to the house, you know, he sells milk, you know, bring it to the house every morning, you know. And the horse was lame, so he had to pull his own cart, you know. And then he talked to God, he says, why do you take it on my horse? Yeah, I know we are the blessed of people, but what, can't you bless somebody else sometime? You know, it's funny, isn't it? Huh? I know we are the chosen people, but I'm going to choose somebody else. You know, the thing is that when God chose you, you don't expect a bed of roses. Do you know that? I want you to reflect on this. I think it's a true fact. If you are not a Christian, you won't have problem. Because you do whatever you want, you sin and go cheat and lie and whatever you do, there's no guilt. Maybe a little bit of conscience. Yeah? That's about it, okay? You know what I mean? But now that you're a Christian, hey, you have to be watchful. What you do, huh? You know, there is a life that we live. God wants us to live the life. You see, God put us on trial. You know, God wants to see our faith. So there are many times that, you know, because we are God's chosen people, there is always this conflict. You know, Satan just wants to get rid of us. You see? And I think that fiddle on the roof is, I think it's written by Solomon Alekhine. It's a very good writer. You know, he, being a Jew, you know, he's very orthodox Jew. I think he loves the Lord. I think he has a real sense of humor. And I think, I know that, he, you know, the Jews people are funny. That's the reason why I enjoy the humor of Jew. And sometimes I always laugh at that. The more that I learn about God, the more I think God is really funny. He's a humorous being, you know. And I don't think God is a dull person. You know, have you ever, I don't know about you children, huh? Do you find your father very dull? Serious all the time like that, you know. You know, he cannot joke with you, and no humor, nothing. Huh? I think, I don't like any company, but his company, everything is serious. You crack a joke, you look at him. He doesn't know how to laugh. We have some people here before. You crack a joke, everybody else laughing, he's not laughing. And then she asks, why are you laughing? Then you guys laugh more. You know, there's no sense of humor. And so when we look at what God is doing, we are God's chosen people. I can tell you one thing, surely we are going on a trial. Because God wants to put us through a fire so that we come out like precious gemstone or pure gold is refined. Like Abraham, remember the Bible talked about that he went through a fire and he's refined like pure gold. And that's the purpose of it. Okay? So that one, now we realize from this verse of Jeremiah chapter 4:31, it points over to Revelation chapter 12. Okay? That the woman cannot be the church. You understand that? It is prophesied in Jeremiah, which is an Old Testament, they are Jewish prophet. It deals with the children of Israel. But now, let us go on again. Isaiah 11. And we also see that this child that will grow up, Isaiah chapter 11, 1 to 4. And I come, and there shall come forth a rod, or the stem of Jesse, a branch that go out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. Alright? You understand that? Spirit of wisdom, understanding, the Spirit of counsel, and might, and the Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. The servant Spirit that is upon Christ. And shall make him a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eye, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But the righteousness shall be judged, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove iniquity for the meek of the earth, and shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Now, the Bible says here, he shall, it's a tender, he's a grower of his root. I mean, it's a tender plant. Remember Jesus Christ grew up, was born in Bethlehem? Okay, let's go to Micah chapter 5. Micah. Which of course is the, Micah is one of the, what we call, normally call, the minor prophets. They are all the little books which come after Joel, which come after Ezekiel. Alright? So, if you turn after Ezekiel, if you find Ezekiel, you can find Micah after that. Because there are only a few chapters in these books. This is chapter 5 and verse 2. It says here, but thou Bethlehem, Ephrata, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose going forth has been from of old, from everlasting. So he was to be born in Bethlehem. Remember I told you this, the prophecy that he's born in Bethlehem, and he was born in Bethlehem, not in Jerusalem, not like what the Mormon said. The Mormon book said that he was born in Bethlehem. That's really wrong. Okay? Now go to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. All these verses there are referred to so that we establish this daughter of Jerusalem. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. A virgin shall conceive. Unto us a child is born. That's all about Israel. Okay? That's all about Israel. This woman in Revelation 12, Okay, it's Israel. It's nothing to do with it. It's not the church. Okay, it's nothing to do with the church. Nothing. Not even one bit to do with the church, for that matter, because there's a prophecy on that. Okay, because we're not going to deal with chapter 12 in detail, but just to give you the understanding. Alright, now, I want you to go over to Psalms 137 now. Let us look at this other daughter. Psalms 137. As you don't know where Psalm is, hold your Bible and put your finger and thumbs right in the middle of the book and turn it and you get some. Alright, you will get some scriptures. 137. Alright. 137 and verse 8. Okay? And it says, O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shall he be that reward thee as thou servest. That's a sum. Alright? Okay, now, the daughter of Babylon. Revelation 12 is the daughter of Jerusalem. Revelation 13, okay, what you see later on, let's go to Revelation chapter 17 now. Okay, Revelation chapter 17. Now, what you see in chapter 13, okay, is only the beast. But there is someone that rides upon this beast. That someone who rides upon this beast is this woman on this beast. Oh, yeah, this one. Okay? Okay, there is a woman riding on this beast. Okay. It says in chapter 30, and there came one of the seven angels at the seven bowls talking to me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great hall that sit upon many waters. Now the Bible said it's a hall. Hall is a house. Okay. With whom the kings of the east have committed fornication, and inhabitants of the earth have made drunk with the wines of her fornication. Which is true, because this woman of Babylon, and you know it refers to none other than the Roman Catholic Church. You understand? And you know the Roman Catholic Church is actually a nation. Vatican City, they call it Vatican City. It's the smallest nation. It's only a few thousand square meter or something like that. You know that? You can walk around and that's it. And the population is about 130 something inside there. Because there's all the guards and what else, the servant. Huh? That's about it. But it has no border. Vatican City is situated right in Rome, in Italy. Is that right? But it has no border. Huh? Its power is around the whole world. All the citizens of those who call themselves Roman Catholic are part of this. Do you understand that? Huh? But it's a woman. The woman is a system. Do you understand that? Huh? The spirit behind. You know, the power behind as a nation. So, the Bible here says it's a whore. And many nations, many kings of the earth have committed fornication, of course. And many of the inhabitants, what it says here, many of the inhabitants of the earth have been drunk with the wine of her fornication. You know, here's a cup. There's a cup in his hand, in her hand. Right? There's a cup in her hand. She gave this cup to all those who want to drink. It's a cup of fornication. And that's a false doctrine that she's having. She's fornicating the word of God that is pure and all this, and twisted around. Yeah, giving false doctrines and purgatory and Mariology and Scientology. You know, play to the same. I don't know whether it's a Scientology or not, but you know, they worship the same. They pray to the saints. They pray all kinds of things, and then you have the wafer, huh? The piece of bread becomes the real body of Jesus Christ. I didn't know how kind of body of Jesus looked like a piece of bread. The real body. The wine became the literal blood. No wonder Martin Luther took the bread and put it on the floor and said, man, that's nothing but a piece of bread. And all those cardinal messengers. Martin Luther did that. Blasphemy! Blasphemy! Off with his head! They look like they are judged. But you see, that's what it is. Offer to the whole world, the invitation of the earth is being drunk with it. And the king, look at all these great politicians on this. Huh? Yeah, go and see the Pope and consult the Pope and go to Vatican, you know. Kiss the hand, kiss the toes, and everything else that you do. Oh, that man is great. There's a power. You see. Because he's supposed to be about Valkyra Spiritual. He's supposed to be Jesus Christ. And it's what is authority. He make no mistake. He's absolute. The Pope is absolute. Not Brother Branham. Agree with that? Yeah. The Pope is absolute. As far as the system is concerned, he is the absolute. Not Brother Branham. Not any prophet you know in the Bible. They are never the absolute. You understand? When they only deliver the word of God that is truthful and right, as God gave them the word, then they became an absolute of God at that particular time. You see? So let us go on, and he said, with whom the king of the earth has committed fornication, is on verse 3. So he carried me away into the spirit, into the wilderness. I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of the name of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. It's the same beast, huh? Alright, in Revelation 13. And it says that he was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abomination, filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth. Now, here it is. Now, upon her forehead, okay, she wears a headdress. And on it is written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, Mother Harlots and Abomination. You know, you wonder, say, wow, there's a vision that John saw. Take his this for headband. But you know one thing, everything that you see in visions, many times that God showed it, they are something that you can see literally on the earth. Now in those ancient times, the woman who are prostitute, okay, even in Israel's Old Testament days, women that are prostituting themselves, they were dressed a certain way, they will have a certain way that they cover their head or dress their head. Okay? That's why even when some places of scripture said, you have a horse forehead, you have a harlot's forehead. I mean, something that the way that is shown that you are a prostitute. And later on, much, much later on, they find it in the Roman Empire. That woman who are prostitute actually wear a headband with her name on it. You understand? Because in Rome, you know the headdress? Oh, they are just like China. Right? If you know ancient China, if you were a scholar, you know how they dress their hair? You know how they tie up their head? I mean, if you watch a Chinese Kung Fu movie, you will know. Or some Chinese serial ancient China days, how they dress. Scholar dress in a certain way. Okay? And if you're a farmer, they just a simple headdress. Okay? If you are in the court, you know, they wear this hat with this two black piece of thing that sticks out, or a round thing that sticks out. Different styles represent different positions. You understand what I'm saying? Sure. It's the same thing with the woman. They're married, they dress in a way, they're married, they dress in a way with their head. Do you understand that? And all those headgear they dress, it's the same. They represent something. In India, it's the puttu. Huh? Red one means you are not married. Black means you are married. If I'm not mistaken, I don't know. I think something like that. You know? And so that's the way it is. If I'm not mistaken, in China, if you are married, the moment you are married, you bun your head with a stick, not stick, chopstick, whatever is through that. Huh? Bun up means you are married. You see, so yes, so you're not married, then if you're a young teenager, put two little bun here, or two little picture with two little bun, something like that. Okay? So there's a headgear. So, in those times, then it is the same. In Rome. Alright? Prostitute, they prostitute themselves on the streets and all that, or in the brothel, or whatever it is. They will have a headband, and their name is that. You see? Okay? So it is said here, they have on the forehead, was written, Mystery Babylon, the great mother, harlots and abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drawn with the blood of the saints and the blood on the martyrs of Jesus. And I saw her, I wonder with great admiration. So this is the daughter of Babylon. Okay, you just see the description of her. Okay, now let's go over to Psalms 47. I mean, Isaiah 47. Now you read, these are just a few verses. You will find a lot of more verses relating to the daughters of Jerusalem, daughter of Jerusalem, and the daughter of Babylon. Okay? 47, chapter 47, verse 1. Come now and sit in the dust, all virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldean, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. In the Chaldean. Well, that's where it started all there in Chaldea. Now, Babylon started over there in that region. You know, just one day she will come to dust. That's what happened to the, what will happen to Vatican City one day. The Bible said the beast would turn against her, eat her up, destroy her. Is that right? That's what is going to happen. Vatican City is going to turn into darkness. One day, boom, everything is going to go. All right, Jeremiah 50. Jeremiah chapter 50, 50, verse 41 to 42. Behold, a people shall come out from the north, and a great nation, and many kings shall rise up on the coast of the earth. They shall hold the bow and the lance, they are crow, and will not show mercy. Their voice shall roar like the sea, and they shall ride upon the horses, everyone put in array, like a man to the battle against the old daughter of Babylon. And that is true in the end time. Alright? In the 70th year, Daniel. And this is what is going to happen. Okay, chapter 51 and verse 33. Alright, 51 is verse 33. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor. It is time to thresh her like a little while, yet in the while, and the time of her harvest shall come. See that? That's all going to happen in the future. Okay. Now let's go to Zechariah chapter 2. Alright, don't go to sleep now. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 7. Now, chapter 2, verse 7 is actually what we read over in Revelation. Other parts say, come out, all my people. Here he is already given the warning. So, Zechariah chapter 2, verse 7. Deliver thyself, O Zion. Deliver thyself, O daughter of Zion, so to speak. That dwell with the daughter of Babylon. Hey, isn't it true that the church today is dwelling with Babylon? I was one inside there mixing Babylon. I don't know. But when the message came, come out, deliver yourself, come out of all my people. And that's what it is. They're coming out. Alright, so I want to understand this, all of us need to see that the picture of these two daughters, they are actually totally different. Okay? Now, let us look into another part of a question that was discussed on Friday, but was interesting because Brother Nice brought it out to me and asked me to deal with it a little bit for him. Now, every one of us are aware that we're all looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ, and that before He comes, there have to be a seven thunder out of their voices. Okay? But the other thing is that Brother brought forth about the 40 days. Remember? It's about 30 to 40 days where the saints will be having a revival. So now we get a picture, there must be, because if God do a time, if it happened before, there must be a time. Something that must have happened before. Okay, so let us go to several scriptures now, and let's go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, and verse 3 to 5. Now here is Luke who wrote this treatise to Theophilus. Alright, so he says that in verse 3, to whom also, okay, let's read from verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostle whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion for many infallible proofs, having seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Verse 9. And when he had spoken this word, while they beheld, as he was taken up, a cloud deceived him out of their sight. Now, we look at this now that this is what Luke wrote. That Jesus Christ, after resurrection, came to be with the disciple for 40 days. Then after that, he told them to wait in Jerusalem and not to depart until they get the power from on high. Then he ascended to heaven. Now, Pentecost is 50 days. Is that right? Pentecost is 50 days from when? From Passover. Okay? From Passover to Pentecost is 50 days. So now, I want you to look at me now because I don't have a chart to draw to show you. But look at me. You have Friday, Passover, Saturday, Sabbath, Sunday, Resurrection Day. 3 days. Okay? On the third day, Sunday, Christ resurrected. Okay? Then after that, the Bible said, he was with the disciples for 40 days. So 3 plus 40 is 43. So that means to say they have about 7 days, they waited before Pentecost came. Isn't it? Now, the question is asked is that, when did Jesus Christ ascend to heaven? When did he ascend to heaven? Okay, now, with that in mind, let's go to Matthew 27. Alright, Matthew 27. Verse 50 to 54. Verse 50 to 54. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, when he was on the cross, and he healed up the ghost, or healed up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top of to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now, when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, truly, this was the Son of God. Alright? Then go right down to chapter 28, verse 1 to 2. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and came and rolled away the stone from the door, and sat upon it. Alright? Then burst. Just hold that for there. Okay, now my question is this. If you look into this chapter, okay, this verse. Jesus had Christ on the cross, upon the cross, then he expired. The Bible said there was a great earthquake. Is that right? Okay, let us follow the verse carefully. It said he gave up the ghost, and when he gave up the spirit, the veil in the temple split in the two. Okay, remember there's a veil between the holy place and the most holy place. Nobody can go into the holy place, not even the priest, except the high priest once a year only. Okay? So that veil is split open. What is that to show? To show that the way to the presence of God is not open. You don't need any high priest to do it for you. Because the high priest that did it once for all, and that's Christ Jesus. Okay? No man come unto the Father but by me. It's open. You don't need to go through all these rituals anymore to get into that, the presence of God for the forgiveness of sin, which you could only do once a year. You understand that? Okay? Then the Bible said, verse 52, verse 51, sorry, and he said, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. So, but imagine this now. Christ died on the cross, says, he gave up the ghost. It is finished. He gave up the spirit. Then, in the temple, the veil rent. Then at the place where they were, where he was, with the other, the soldiers all around, all the people that were watching, the earthquake. Is that right? Alright. Now in verse 52, and the Bible says, and the grave was open, were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the grave. Now, here we have this. You read in the scriptures, please, remember this. When you read in the scripture, and. Don't connect and as within a few seconds or on a few hours or minute. That's sort of thing. Don't connect and means and. Okay? You understand that? I could say this. I put a past tense on it. I went to Cambodia. And I went to Vietnam. And I went to China. Well, you mean I fly one stop and then stop there and still flying on transit? I could be in Cambodia for many days. And then I went over to Vietnam. I could Vietnam me for a few hours or many days and then I went to China. So the word and is a conjunction. But it doesn't mean that it is immediate. Okay. So now when did this, when the Bible said the grave was open, many body of the saints which slept arose. When did this Old Testament saint rise up? That's the question. When did the Old Testament saint rise up? The Bible says that there was an earthquake. And the grave was open. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the grave. And after his resurrection. So you need to read the whole thing carefully. After his resurrection. Not during his resurrection. Not at his resurrection, but after. When he resurrected, it doesn't mean that the Old Testament resurrected with him. It's only after. We don't know how long after. You get a point there? Okay? And then in verse 54, you know, it says, of course, watching the soldier say this, that's okay. But let us go to chapter 28. Now, at the end, in the end of the Sabbath, it began to dawn toward the first year of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. This was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and rolled away the stones from the door and sat upon it. Now, apparently, that Christ somehow must have already gone out. It is just only to show that there's an empty tomb. Okay? Now, if we read these few chapters of the Bible, you look into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then you compare all this, and you know what? There has been a difficulty in trying to harmonize all this resurrection event. So much so that there have been atheists, agnostic, unbeliever attacking. So what? The whole thing is confusion. Actually there isn't. If you want to really look at it carefully, go back and study and try to see whether you can harmonize it. Huh? One woman, there are two women, then one woman, there's one woman, then some other woman, there are some women, I don't know how many women. Okay? But let us go to another verse, Mark 16. Mark 16. Mark 16, 1 to 8. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought spices that they come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun and said unto themselves, who shall rolled away the stone from the door of the sepulchre. When they looked, they saw the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. By this ending, we were all quick here. Okay? Funny, the thing is, the interesting is that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, everybody is writing, okay? What they know, Luke is the one who gets the information from the other apostles, okay? But the other one is more like an observer, Luke is more like a reporter, okay? And God had these four men writing different things, and everybody seemed to be different. But the thing is this, you know what one man said? The skeptic said it is full of contradiction. It doesn't match. But if God was to take everything exactly, all exactly matching, then the skeptic said, oh, they're all in kahoot. Write it, everything is the same. You know what I mean? If you don't have the same, they make noise. They are the same, they say they are in kahoot. You know what I mean? So God have them written in such a way that you need to do a little research. Huh? Okay, now. And when they looked and they saw the silver doorway was very great, and entering to the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothing in a white, long white garment, and they were afraid. And they said unto him, be not afraid. You see, Jesus of Nazareth was just crucified. He is risen. He's not here. Behold, the place where he laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he go before you into Galilee. There you shall see him as he said unto you. So they went quickly and fled from the sepulchre, and they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. And it says right here, verse 9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had seen cast 7 devils. Now you see, verse 9 and verse 1 look kind of a little confused, eh? Right now. Verse 1 said Mary Magdalene, or right here said Mary Magdalene. But here in verse 9 is just a recollection. You need to understand recollection. Now he says, now Jesus was saying early, alright? And she went and told them they had been with him as they mourned and wept and so on, that he was alive and so on. Okay? So you read it, look at it more carefully, and then see what they can picture. Let's go right now to Luke 24. Luke 24. 1 to 12, read 24. Upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto Sepulchre bringing the spices. They had prepared, and certain other with them, they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. They entered in and found not the body of Lord Jesus Christ. It came to pass that they were much perplexed thereof about. Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. At time he said, two men. At one time he said, one man. So we don't know how many. Now don't forget that the garden, the grave, huh? This place where he was married. Jesus was buried in a grave of Joseph Arimathea. It is a garden. Alright? So when people approach from different directions, they will see different things. This we must understand. You understand? And it is early in the morning, of course, some begin to come out. Okay? They went. Especially the woman, they even went even before the sun comes up. Because they want to take the spice and, you know, and embalm Jesus Christ or put it all around him. You see, you get a point. All right. So let's continue here. And the angels, and they said, why seek ye among the living among the dead? He's not here, but he's risen. Remember what he said unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hand of sinful men and be crucified until they rise again. And remember his word. And returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11. So they returned back and told the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them which told these things unto the apostles. And now first of all we see first Mary Magdalene and Mary. Then after it says Mary Magdalene and the mother of James or Solomon. And then here's Mary, then it's this all other woman. Huh? You read here, don't you? Mary the mother of James. So there are a lot of Marys there. At least there are three Marys. Plus other women. See, other women. So we don't know how many women went there. You understand? Then we that Mary Magdalene and went with Mary, the mother of Salome, you know, the two of them went this one side way and the other one went another way. For all we know, okay, that's funny. They all not one group all went together, and if they went at different times, definitely for sure. You see, you understand that. So if Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went, and then they saw the angel, and he said, go and tell the other one, they went. And then the other came along, they said, go and tell the other one, they also went. Fine. Because the disciples are at home or scattered here and there. You understand? So we need to look at it and not say, oh, you're confusing them. No, God has a purpose of telling a story like that. And he says right here, verse 11, and they are watching to them as idle tales and believe them not. Then arose Peter and ran to the sepulchre, stooping down, he beheld the linen cloth there by themselves departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that way, later on the road to Emmaus, right? Then you remember Jesus walked with them. That's interesting. Okay, let's put that aside. Let's go to John now. Alright, John 20. Now we see all these four Gospels. John 20 verse 1 to 10. The first day of the week come Mary Magdalene early. Now, he only mentioned only one. It's always Mary Magdalene because she is the one whom Jesus cast out seven spirits. And many, many of them love Jesus like anything. She wanted to make sure she's there first to do all that she wanted to do for her Lord. It's always Mary Magdalene. You talk about Mary, the mother of James, and Mary, the mother of Jesus. There's no other woman more beautiful than is Mary Magdalene, whose heart, you know, really loves the Lord because of what happened to her. Hey, look at that, huh? And she saw the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she ran and called to Simon Peter and to the other disciple. See, now, first of all, in the other gospel, it said Mary Magdalene woman came, and the angel said, no, he's not here, I'm going to tell. But Jesus said the Mary Magdalene came, and they saw the stone disappear. She ran and told Peter, right? So how many times did Mary Magdalene go back and forth? You know what I mean? Hey, where's the stone? Nobody, somebody wrote, hey, run back and told Peter, right? Then another woman, she became coming back again. I mean, you're going to figure all this out and see how interesting that is. It is not just you read the story like that. Okay, God make it this way. Alright. And they are taken away the Lord and the sepulchre, and they knew not where they had laid him. So Peter went forth, and other disciples came to the sepulchre, they ran together. And other disciples did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre, and he stooping down, looking in, saw the linen cloth lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Peter, following him, went into the sepulchre and see the linen cloth lying. And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. And they went in as other disciples. They came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. But as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the third day. Then the disciple went again unto their own home. Now hear this verse 11 onward. But Mary, which Mary? Mary Magdalene, stood outside at the sepulchre weeping. So she was now outside. Why the disciple was in there talking, she was outside weeping, crying. Then in verse, here came an angel, and she thought it was somebody else, right? Actually, it was Jesus crying. So, and then in verse 16, Jesus said unto her, Mary. Whoops, that voice sounds familiar. Mary. You know, Jesus called by name. He always calls by name. But the other angel, you read about the other angel, they'll just say, no, he's not here, don't you know? But this one, when Jesus called you, he called you by name. Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni! Miss Mary said, Master! And she wanted to touch him. Touch me not. Now watch this carefully now. Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples what they had seen the Lord. He had spoken this thing. So she went and tell them. Now here, why is it that Mary Magdalene could not touch her? Touch Jesus again. Don't touch me. Don't hold me. For I'm not yet ascended to heaven. What, how many ascensions did Jesus Christ made? One or two? Huh? Two. There are two ascensions. This is why it's missed out. This, you see, if you remember the Feast of Jehovah, okay, do you remember the holy place? Now the holy place, the most holy place, only the high priest go in there once a year because of the atonement. And what he carried with him? The blood of the sacrificial lamb. Remember? The lamb must be kept for the 14th. Or the 10th day to the 14th day. Then slaughter. And that blood is carried by the high priest from outside. Remember the outside, the court, outer court. Walk through the holy place, go behind the veil to the most holy place, and sprinkle the blood on the Moses seat, which is the throne of God, so to speak, right? Remember. And all the priests on the outside and all the people on the outside, listen. What they are listening? The bells. Because the high priest, Aaron, they wear this big skirt at the edge of which, at the edge of which is tied all these little bells. So he, as long as he moved the bell, ding, 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 they hear, okay, It's all right. The moment the bell starts and he doesn't come out, there's no forgiveness of sin. Aaron's dead. The high priest is dead. You understand that? Then blood must be pure, must be of a lamb that is pure without blemish that God can accept. Do you understand that? Then when Aaron goes in, Aaron will come out. You get the point? You see? So now, Christ had died. He resurrected. But he said, don't touch me. I have to go to my father. Present him, myself to him. Don't touch me. Isn't it? So he went up. How long did it take for him to go up? And how long did it take for him to come down? How many days? How many days? Or how many weeks? Cannot be weeks. Cannot be days. How many hours? Cannot be hours. Couple of seconds. It's all that fast because you know there's how far, you know, how far is heaven? You need a jet plane or rocket, you won't reach there, I tell you. Huh? Only by the Spirit of God, Christ ascended to heaven. Because it was early in the morning, remember? It was early in the morning. At the rising of the sun, Christ appeared, gone up. Okay? Then after a little while, he came back very fast. When he came back, let's go back to these other verses here, to chapter to Matthew, and you'll see Matthew chapter 27 or 28 now. Alright? So this other woman, they all were also told. Okay, all this excitement where the other angels appear, right? But this we're talking about Mary Magdalene who saw Jesus Christ. But the other time there were other angels, remember? Okay, now. If you read verse 8, they departed quickly from Sepulchre with fear and great joy. And then verse 9. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them. Now, it must have been just a couple of minutes or so. I mean, sometimes, you know, you go into a place, you see all these wonders happening, and you just linger there for a while thinking, right? Mary Magdalene was outside, then Jesus cried, Jesus said, don't touch me, I'm not yet ascended yet. Madeline, okay, he laughed. You see? Why? He was outside the Sepulchre. How far away from the Sepulchre, we do not know. Then he said to turn around and tell the other woman wherever that he met the Lord. Okay, but Jesus ascended. So they decided to go back and tell the others also. Oh, those others that were not informed. As they were on the way now, remember that Joseph of Arimathea is away from the city. So as they went down, alright, to find out their birth. As they went, the Bible says, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and they held him by the feet and worshipped him. It isn't long. Now they can touch him. Remember? Now they can touch him. Okay? Now only this woman, not the man. You know, this woman are privileged. You know, this woman, you women are very privileged. The first to touch the Lord. Then after that, as the time passes by, all the disciples gather in the room, they're all afraid. Remember? Then what happened? Jesus came in, right? On the same day, it all happened within one day. Then later on, there were two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus. Then Jesus Christ came walking to them. Huh? They all happened on the same day. So just imagine. Now, remember this, there are two ascensions. One is to present. Christ must present himself to the Father for the acceptance of the blood, then he must come back down. Do you understand? And declare that all is well. And tell the disciples, all hail, all is well. Okay, go. Tell the rest, I'll meet you in Galilee. And so on and so forth. Isn't that so? So now we have this. Okay, 40 days later, Jesus Christ came 40 days. What happened to those Old Testament saints now? The Old Testament saints only resurrected after, I believe, the Bible says after his resurrection, only after his resurrection when he had presented the blood to the Father, then the Old Testament saint could have risen. It took within a few, couple of minutes maybe. Okay? Then they went to Jerusalem and was seen by many. After 40 days, Jesus Christ ascended to heaven. Huh? Okay? There's an Acts we read. He ascended into heaven. So when he ascended to heaven, that is when all those other saints follow him. Because according to Ephesians chapter 4, he is the one who set captivity captive. Okay, now he can take them and bring them to paradise. Not in the first ascension, but in the second ascension. The first ascension is not seen by the rest. He just needs to present himself to the Father. The other one, they saw him. They didn't see the rest go up. Of course, they didn't see the Old Testament saying. So is that clear enough for you to understand what is being said here? Alright? Otherwise, there are those that say, when Jesus Christ came up and he was a disciple, all those Old Testament saying they all went up with him in the ascension. Yeah, but when? And when? But we see that there's one place that cannot be touched, there's another place it could be touched. So he could not be touched before he presents himself to the Father. He can only be touched after he presents himself to the Father. Is there any confusion? No. God bless all of you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for grace once again, Lord, that I pray that you touch the heart. Seal your love in us, Lord. Seal your Holy Spirit in our life too, and seal thy word into our hearts also, that we keep it, Father, and watch over it, Lord, and treasure it, Father. Keeping it that we may live the life of Christ Jesus and not sin against thee, Father, we pray. We ask for your grace this morning again, and that all that you have done for us, we bless the holy name. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Amen.